Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. First on the docket today, no Bill Cosby love for Ghislaine Maxwell. Second, can you be charged for homicide when someone commits suicide? Third, most New Yorkers want now former Governor Cuomo charged criminally. Cowboys are still good people. And then finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so, please hit that subscribe button as well as that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. Now, today is Monday. Please join us tomorrow when we go live at 6 p.m. Mountain Time. We always have a good time on our live program. We take your questions, so feel free to join us. It'll be a good time. First on the docket, no Bill Cosby love for Ghislaine Maxwell. As you all may recall, Bill Cosby had his convictions overturned because a district attorney stated that he would not prosecute Bill Cosby if he basically cooperated with a civil deposition. The attorneys relied upon that, Bill Cosby relied upon that, and then he was ultimately charged because, well, based upon his statements in that deposition. The trial court, the lower appellate courts said Bill Cosby, you know, that's too bad. But the Pennsylvania Supreme Court reversed and said, hey, when a district attorney binds their office, they are forever bound, even if it wasn't in a written agreement or some sort of notification. In that particular case with Bill Cosby, the then district attorney basically made some public announcements, and everybody knew that Bill Cosby wasn't going to be prosecuted because he was trying to make sure that the victims in that particular case received justice by basically being rewarded or compensated for their damages with a financial remedy, money. That's what you get in a civil case. Well, Ghislaine Maxwell was basically making the same argument. She made that same argument when there was an indictment, and then she renewed those arguments once the second superseding indictment came out against her. Now, in that second superseding indictment, the federal prosecutors ratcheted up the severity of the charges, which is not uncommon. When a prosecutor will indict a case, they will sometimes say, hey, here's your best offer, so to speak. This is your best way to resolve this case. And if you don't do that, I'm going to supersede and bring more charges. Frankly, I think most prosecutors should just bring all the charges at once because that's the way it was intended to be done. And you're not supposed to be able to amend an indictment just by a filing of a motion. You have to actually go back in front of the grand jury and present evidence as to those new charges. So it makes sense to do it all in one particular time. However, Ghislaine Maxwell in this particular case did not get any Bill Cosby love. And the reason why is because the court said, hey, I gotta follow this case law. I gotta follow this precedent that says only the office for the United States attorney that makes this deal, and in this particular case, the deal was with that guy named Jeffrey Epstein, depending on how you pronounce it, where they said, we will not prosecute you or anyone around you in your circle of friends for any crimes in federal court. Jeffrey Epstein then pled guilty in state court to some misdemeanor charges. It was not a big deal, did a little time in jail, and that was it. Ghislaine Maxwell was making the argument that I was one of those people that was close to Jeffrey, and therefore you cannot prosecute me. And I understand the rationale from the court in this particular case that is handling the trial court for Ghislaine Maxwell. It's a case that she's relying upon called United States v. Annaby. And in that particular case, it says a plea agreement binds only the office of the United States Attorney for the district in which the plea is entered, unless it affirmatively appears that the agreement contemplates a broader restriction. So you can see why the New York office is saying we're not bound by that, otherwise there is no case, because the deal that was made previously with old Jeffrey was down in Miami, the United States Attorney's Office down in Miami. And this is the kind of thing where the trial court has to follow the law and the precedent. If it's going to be changed or interpreted a different way, it needs to be made at the appellate level. Now, I think one thing is distinguishable here from the Annaby case, and that is the fact that, you know, old Jeffrey wasn't just some regular guy. The plea agreement in Jeffrey's case went all the way to the United States Attorney. It was reviewed at the highest levels of the Department of Justice. And you would think that somebody would have clarified that that plea non-prosecution deal would have been a little more specific. The fact that it was broad was meant to be that way by the defense. The prosecution shouldn't have done it. So I don't think old Ghislaine is going to get a whole lot of love at the trial court level, maybe at the appellate court level. But unfortunately, that's right, she's got to go to trial, lose, and then appeal her case. Now, in the federal system, sometimes you can do a conditional plea, which is where you plead guilty, but everybody agrees you're going to have an issue regarding this legal issue of, is there a binding agreement where she could not be prosecuted, have it resolved at the appellate court level, but she'll plead guilty and then she'll hang her hats on the appeal without a trial. There's been no real talk of that, but it is something that can be done, normally only in federal court. I've only done it twice in some 26 years, and it's only been in the federal courts. In the state court, you got to go to court, lose, and then appeal. Next on the docket, can you be charged with a homicide when somebody commits suicide? Good question. Do you remember the case a couple years ago? A woman by the name of Michelle Carter was convicted of manslaughter for encouraging her boyfriend to commit suicide. And the boyfriend in that particular case said that he wanted to commit suicide, and Michelle Carter actually urged him to go ahead and do it and go through with the plan. She was convicted, and the case was upheld on appeal. Well, there's another case going on right now where an Indiana man goes on trial next month in Tennessee, and he's charged with criminally negligent homicide in the death of a 19-year-old woman by the name of Grace Ann Sparks. Now, this was 2 years ago, and he was some 300 miles away at the time. So what took place? So Hayden Birkbeil, he's 29, he's charged with this criminally negligent homicide. So what it turns out was that Mr. Birkbeil contacted the police after Miss Sparks had shot herself while she was on a FaceTime call. He called the police and said, this is what was going on, she's suicidal, etc. Nobody really thought anything of it. Well, Miss Sparks' mother thought something's just not right. Well, the police investigated, they looked into it further, and it turned out that old Birkbeil was into BDSM, and he was the sexual master, and he was telling Miss Sparks to harm himself for his own pleasure. In fact, he encouraged Miss Sparks to kill herself for his pleasure, for his viewing pleasure, if you can imagine such a thing. Now, the jury's gonna have to obviously get around the whole sexual thing, but it's interesting. If you ask somebody to do something and they do it, is that criminally negligent homicide that you're supposed to know that they may actually do it? Or did she in fact commit suicide? Now, the trial starts in a couple of weeks, and this could be an interesting case to watch just because of the whole ramifications. Now, the case with Michelle Carter, she was actually encouraging him, do it, do it, do it. I'm not so sure about this one. Obviously, like a lot of things in the criminal world, it's weird. There's usually some sort of sexual thing behind it. I'm not exactly sure why. But just because something is somewhat reprehensible doesn't always make it criminal. We'll have to wait and see. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever, but if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship, you're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, Governor Cuomo. Most New Yorkers found in a poll recently that they want him charged criminally. Now understand, we don't decide convictions and guilt and whether someone should be charged by polls. We don't do that. That would be absolutely terrible. That is not what our system of justice was founded upon. It needs to be based upon evidence and whether the prosecutor can ethically prove the case beyond a reasonable doubt when they file charges. It's not looking good for old Andrew Cuomo because a majority of New Yorkers, 78% in fact, believe that the allegations outlined in the report by the Attorney General are very credible. Not good for the governor. Now, obviously, there are several district attorneys in New York that are actually investigating the governor to see whether criminal charges will be filed. Several of the complaining witnesses want criminal charges filed, but once again, it has to be whether they can be proven. However, when you have a victim saying that she was in fact sexually assaulted and the governor is absolutely denying it, then guess what? There probably has to be a trial, and that is sufficient for the prosecutors to go forward. Obviously, we'll give the governor the presumption of innocence, but I am going to speculate, and I don't like to speculate, but I think that somehow there'll be some sort of backdoor deal where the complaining witnesses will reach an out-of-court settlement where some large sums of money will be exchanged, and in exchange for that, there will be no criminal prosecution. Could you imagine old Governor Cuomo having to register as a sex offender for his crimes? I don't think that's going to happen. Besides, how's he going to do the next book deal or get his consulting gig on TV if he's got to deal with having to explain that he's a registered sex offender? All right, next on the docket, cowboys are still good people. As a kid, I don't know about you, but who didn't want to grow up and be a cowboy? Cowboys were just cool, right? They had the hat, they had the horse, and they were just all around good guys. I think most cowboys are good guys, except, well, maybe that Patrick Frazee guy that was convicted in Colorado Springs of killing his girlfriend, Kelsey Lee Barrett, and then disposing of her body by burning her on his property. So I guess he's a bad cowboy. But it's still, in my mind, most cowboys are good. Well, take a look at this. In Rancho Cucamonga, California, a bull, Ferdinand the Bull, got loose, jumped out of a trailer and was making its way down the highway. The police were doing what they could to try and surround the bull so that he couldn't run away. But who came in and saved the day? That's right, a cowboy. A cowboy came in. He had not only knew how to lasso the bull, he had his own rope to have a lasso. That is a good cowboy, a good Samaritan indeed. So every now and then I've said, you know, you lose your faith in humanity. Stories like this that kind of restore your faith in humanity. All right, now to our dumb criminal contestant of the day. But before we get to that, let's announce our winner from last week. Our winner last week was Michael Lewis. Remember Mr. Lewis? He was the man that was running from the police, ran into the home, hid underneath a mattress, whereupon the police dog, canine, found Mr. Lewis underneath the bed and maybe bit his arm and pulled him out. Yep. Mr. Lewis, you are our dumb criminal contestant winner of the week. And what does that mean? That's right. We're going to send you some cool Crime Talk gear. Congratulations. All right, on to our dumb criminal contestant of the day. He's a South Carolina man who's been charged with livestock larceny. How did all this happen? Well, Gary Chase Coble was seen by a woman riding a horse down the street. The police were contacted. Mr. Coble then dismounted the horse once the police were getting close to him. And he apparently had some warrants for his arrest. And so what did he do? Went inside a residence and hid. Not just like Mr. Lewis underneath a mattress. He took the whole horse in to try and hide as well. So they contacted Mr. Coble's house. That's whose house it was in. And they said that they believed that, hey, Mr. Coble, we believe your son is in there. The father opened the door to the house, and the deputies said that they could basically see and they could smell horse poop. And if anyone's ever seen a horse poop, it's pretty obvious that a horse has pooped. Needless to say, they went into the bedroom, and what did they find but the stolen horse and Mr. Coble Jr.? Not good. So, Mr. Coble Jr., you are our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Why, you may ask? You don't steal another man's horse, first of all, okay? Where I'm from here in Colorado, and it used to be on the books that if you steal a man's horse, you could be hung for something like that. You don't mess with a man's horse. It's kind of like messing with a man's car. You just don't do it. But to think that you were going to get away with the theft of a horse by taking it inside your house when you knew the police were looking for you, oh my gosh, Mr. Coble, that's just dumb. And that deserves to be crowned the dumb criminal contestant of the day. But don't worry, I understand you may not want that title. There are four more chances this week where somebody else could beat you to the ultimate winner of dumb criminal contestant of the week. But congratulations. All right, that's all we have for you today. We appreciate you taking the time to watch Crime Talk. We know there's lots of things you could be doing, so we appreciate you doing that. And we'll see you next time on Crime Talk.